Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. There's a powerful letter because we see who we are in Christ and what we are to do. Now, we divided the book into two big sections, okay? Two big sections. Who we are in Christ, that's the blessings. How we are to live, that's our walk and application. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Ephesians, because there's six chapters. The first three chapters are doctrinal, they're teaching. They talk about our position. It's what we need to know. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 is practical. It's the application. It's how we are to live. If you remember in chapters 1, 2, and 3, he tells us who we are. And then beginning in chapter 4, he says, now let's walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. We're in the very first section of the book, and we're seeing the blessings that God has given us. In fact, we're looking at chapter 1, verses, basically verses 3 through 14. It's a special passage. Paul declares the blessings that we have. In fact, there's six blessings that he's given to us that we'll see. In these last few weeks, we've been looking at it. We said a couple of weeks ago, when we've gone over this before, that this is one verse in the original language. Starting in verse 3 through verse 14, that's all one verse in the original Greek. And so we just see that it all flows together. In the last few weeks, we've been looking at the details of these six blessings. And this evening, the final two. Here we are, we're going to see in verses 11 and 12, our inheritance. The inheritance that we have in Christ. We have an inheritance. We'll talk about that. Then our security in Christ. It says we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. What exactly does that mean? And are we secure? And how does all that fit? So there's some great things that we'll see. As we begin, let me raise some questions for you to think about. Here they are right here. What is our inheritance? Number two, how does an inheritance differ from rewards? And we want to make a distinction on that tonight, and we'll see how that fits. And then what is the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and why is this so important? So there's a lot of things we'll see as we look at this passage tonight. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank you for each one that is here, Lord. We thank you that we can come to your word, which is perfect and true. Your written revelation to us. We can know it. We can apply it. We can live it out in our lives, and we can be changed to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you that as we look at these blessings that you have given to us, as we see the verses of this passage, that you would teach us. And Lord, especially tonight, when we see the last two of these six blessings, the one about the inheritance and the one about the sealing of the Holy Spirit and our security, that you would teach us, we'd be encouraged by this, and we'd be willing to share these great truths with other people. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and eternal life simply by faith in him. Lord, we ask you that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think one of the great truths from the Bible is that God's plan of salvation is very simple. It goes back to one of the famous verses in the Bible, and that's John 3:16, but you could put it this way. God loved the world. God sent his Son. It's true that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died on the cross, that he paid for sins and he rose again. And that's the gospel message, or is what we call the good news message. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, basically verses 3 and 4, how Jesus died and rose again. And we know that the response to the gospel is to believe it, to believe in Jesus Christ, to trust in him for eternal life. And that's why John 3:16 is so famous. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's powerful. And most people, let me tell you, I've talked to some people came in the office just about 2 weeks ago, and I got to share with them, and neither one of them had ever trusted Christ. So I got, by the grace of God, I got to tell them about Jesus, and they trusted in Christ. So it was a great day. But you know what? Before they trusted in Christ, both of them knew John 3:16. Both of them could quote it. And I said, well, let's think about what you just quoted, and we talked about it. Now, here's the question. There are a lot of people who say, yes, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you have eternal life, or they sometimes use the word, you're saved, and all of that. Here's the question. When you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're saved, so to speak, as it says in the Bible, is this forever? When you believe in Jesus Christ, are you saved forever? Is it for sure? Because some people fear, and they say, you know, you trust in Jesus, but maybe you could lose your salvation somehow. Maybe you could do something wrong, or maybe you could quit believing, or you could mess up. Will they lose their salvation? Is it possible that a person would believe in Jesus Christ and then lose salvation? Well, the answer is, of course, it's not possible. In fact, there are two things to think about. When we talk to a person and we say, you believe in Jesus Christ, what do you get? You get eternal life. So here's the first question. How long is eternal life? It's forever. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get that moment, John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, has eternal life. You have eternal life the moment you believe in Christ. How long does that last? Forever. Now, if it ended, was it eternal life? No. So when a person says, well, you could lose eternal life, no. If it's eternal life, you can't lose it because it goes on forever. Now, if it was, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have life till you mess up. It would be a different story. You could say, okay, you could lose it. But He says, you have eternal life. There's a second big question that goes with it. Is the fact that our salvation, is it based on our works, goodness, righteousness, or faithfulness in any way, or is it based totally on the faithfulness of God and His promises? What's the answer? It's totally on the faithfulness of God. So if a person says, yeah, but what if you quit believing? Is your salvation based on your faithfulness to keep believing God? No. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, He gives you eternal life, which cannot end. And second is, it's based on His faithfulness, not yours. He doesn't say, I'll save you if you'll hang in there. I'll save you if you act right. I'll save you if you live right. He never says that. It's called grace through faith as a gift. It's powerful. So God is faithful even when we are not. And the truth is, we are not faithful. Now, in this evening's passage, as we look, we're going to see one of the blessings that God gives to us is the fact that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. In fact, verse 13 says, after hearing the message, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're going to talk about that. It deals with our protection. It deals with our security. And we want to understand this evening, this passage, this great truth that you are secure in Christ. Now, let me tell you, there are a lot of people who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. They've never understood the fact of the security that they have in Christ. And so there's some who have trusted in Christ, and if you ask them, are you going to heaven? They would say, I hope I am, or I don't know for sure. They don't understand that the moment they believe in Christ, what does He give them? Eternal life. And is it based on their works or goodness, or based on the grace of God? It's based on the grace of God. So they just don't understand. And so we want to put this together to make sure that we understand and that we're able to share with other people so they can know. Now, people will either serve God out of fear or out of love. There are people who are serving God out of fear because they're afraid they would lose their salvation. So they go to church, they do things. They're religious in a sense because they say, you know, I better do these things because I don't want to lose what I got. They serve God out of fear. The best way to serve God is out of love in response to what He has done for us, that He has given us eternal life, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, and we'll see that even tonight. So there's some great things. As we're looking at this, we've been seeing, of course, starting at verse 3 of Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. We did something a little bit unique. We started the study of the book of Ephesians, got the background, and then 1 week we did all of chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. We put the whole section together. If you remember, it's been a number of weeks ago, but on a Sunday night, we put all of it together, and we went over it very quickly. And then for the last weeks, we've been taking each of these blessings, we've been taking two at a time. So last week we did two, the week before that we did two, and this week we do the final two, those six blessings. Now, as you look at verses 3 through 14, there's something that you might realize, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in this. In fact, I think I've got an overhead that in this it says, we've been sanctified by the Father, that's verses 4, 5, and 6, based on the sacrifice of the Son, that's verses 7 through 12, secure by the Holy Spirit, that verses 13 and 14. So what Paul does as he gives the beginning of this, he says, you've got blessings, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is involved in the blessings that you have. So it's a pretty powerful passage as we look at it. Let me give you the six blessings that we mentioned. In verse 4, we've been chosen in Christ. In verse 5, we're adopted as sons. Verse 7, we're redeemed in Christ. Verses 8, 9, and 10, God made known, He made known God's plan in Christ. Now that's what we saw last time. Then tonight, the inheritance we have in Christ, verse 11, and the security we have in Christ, that's verse 13. So that's what we're going to see. Now, remember something that is a truth that you've got to understand. It's all the way through the passage that these blessings that we have are based on two things. I think it's the next one. Two things stand out. One, the blessings are from God. He has decided. It's His plan. It's His will. It's all what God decided. And these blessings are based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. All the way through the passage, He'll say, in Him or in Christ. And the idea there is because of our union with Christ, God has decided to bless us. Now, understand this. That when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, He places you in Christ, in union with Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So you're in Christ. That's why Paul can write in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You are in union with Christ. And based on our union with Christ, we have the blessings from God. So we see that over and over and over in this section. Now, let's look at the last two. The last one is the inheritance and security that we have in Jesus Christ. I think we list this one as number five, the inheritance that we have in Christ. Notice you have to go back to the very end of verse 10. If you got a New American Standard like I do, actually the verse begins at the very end of verse 10. It says, in Him, in Christ, also we have attained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Now, we'll stop there. He says, in Him, in Jesus Christ. And just remember, every blessing, everything that you have, comes because your union in Jesus Christ. It says, we have obtained an inheritance. Now, in the original language, obtained an inheritance is literally one Greek word. It could be translated in a number of ways. It could be that we have been chosen to have an inheritance. We have obtained. We have obtained. We are chosen. The word just means, in fact, some translation says we have been appointed an inheritance. The idea there is that God planned that He would give to us an inheritance. Notice what He says. Also, we have obtained an inheritance. It's past tense. It doesn't say we will receive an inheritance. You have the inheritance right now. Let's think about it. I want to make a contrast between an inheritance and rewards. Now, there's a couple of places that inheritance is actually used as a reward. We'll talk about that some other time. I just want you to see this, that there is a difference between an inheritance and a reward. Usually, and let's just say tonight, we'll look at it this way. An inheritance is something that is given to you. I had an Aunt Thelma. I never knew Aunt Thelma. She was actually my daddy's aunt, and she was a nurse, and she lived in the way southern part of Texas, and she was a nurse for 40 years in this hospital. In fact, when she died, they named the new wing after her. Her name was Thelma Hartzell, and they called it the Thelma Hartzell. It was for babies. The whole section was babies, births of babies and everything, because all her whole life, all of her adult life as a nurse, she worked in the place where the babies were born, and she just loved them. She never married, and she didn't have any children, she didn't have anything. So when she died, she decided she would send an inheritance to the people that were connected to her. She didn't have any children of her own, but it was her sister's children. And my dad was one of those. Now, he knew her, but I never knew her. But my daddy had already died when she died. And so in the will, it said, going to Harold Bond's offspring or some of Thelma Hartzell's inheritance. I got some inheritance from Thelma. And you know what I got? I got her Bible. I got a picture of her holding babies. And I got a picture of the newspaper showing the Thelma Hartzell thing. It meant a lot to me. But what did I do for that? Not one thing. I didn't even know her. I knew her name because they said, you know, Aunt Thelma died. I went, okay. You know, okay, so who's Aunt Thelma, you know? But when I got her Bible, Aunt Thelma became real to me. But you know what? I was part of the inheritance. What did I do for it? Nothing. The inheritance that we have that he talks about in this passage comes because God decided He would give us. We have obtained an inheritance. Now, a reward is different. Inheritance is something given. A reward is something that is earned. And the Bible talks about us rewarding. And He says, run the race so you can get the prize. He says, live in such a way that you'll hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Rewards are based on faithful service for Christ, and inheritance is given freely. Comes through our relationship with Christ. So in this one, He says, in Him, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, listen to what he says. He says, we obtained an inheritance, and then he goes on to say, having been predestined according to the purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Let's talk about this inheritance, and then three things about it for a second. This inheritance is by faith, it is guaranteed, and it is beyond what we can imagine. Let's talk about the first thing, that it's by faith. And in Revelation, you don't have to necessarily turn there, but in Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 and 7, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I give to this without cost. Let me read this to you because I think it's powerful. Just listen carefully. If you don't want to turn there, listen to what he says. He says, then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I give, now listen carefully, I give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. See, it's without cost. It's just given to us. And then he says something. He who overcomes will inherit these things. and I will be his God and he'll be my son. And we stop and we go, wait a minute. He says, he who overcomes. That must mean we do something until you read 1 John chapter 5. That's just a few pages back in your Bible. Let me read this to you. Just listen carefully. You don't have to look at all these places. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? To be an overcomer is to have faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me get back to Ephesians and we'll put it together. But he says this, we have an inheritance that is, first of all, by faith. You believe in Jesus Christ, you get the inheritance. And the way he uses it in Revelation, we're overcomers by faith in Christ. There's a second aspect. It is guaranteed. It is sure. Sometime, if you want to, you can read the 1 Peter passages, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this, if you want to just listen to it. He says this, we have obtained an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, protected by the power of God. We have an inheritance that is imperishable. That means it's always there. It's undefiled. That means there's no defects in it. It will never fade away. That means you won't get up there and you go, what happened to my inheritance? They say, well, I disappeared. We don't know what happened to it. Yeah, so it's never going to disappear. It's reserved. That means it's guarded and kept by the power of God. So when you think about our inheritance, it comes by faith. When you believe in Jesus Christ, it gives you the inheritance. It's guaranteed, it's sure. Peter writes that and says, it's guaranteed and sure. The third thing I want you to think about is beyond our imagination. Listen, part of the inheritance, and I'm just going to give you a few things. Part of the inheritance is our home in heaven. You remember in John 14 where Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house. There are many what? Many rooms. If it wasn't that way, and I told you, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. That's our home in heaven. He said, if it wasn't this way, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. And where I am, you will always be. And then he says this great statement. And you know the way that I am going. And then Thomas says, Lord, we don't know the way that you're going. How are we going to know the way? And then Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. That's John 14, 6. So we have a home in heaven that is beyond what we can imagine. We have a new body. Philippians 3 says we wait for the Lord Jesus to come and change this body, this lowly body, into a glorious body like his. 1 Corinthians 15 says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this old mortal body is going to put on immortality. Yesterday, it's a sad time always, but yesterday I did a funeral. And the person was named Lee, and she had believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. And we talked about the fact that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we said, one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to send with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Their bodies will be changed. And we who are alive and remain to be caught up together will be changed. It's beyond our imagination that God's going to change this body into a body like his that will never decay. He also promises us eternal life. It's beyond our comprehension. That's life forever with Jesus Christ. And we have eternal life. So, by faith, it is guaranteed. It is beyond our imagination. That's our inheritance. Now, it's all because we're children of God and we're in union with Jesus Christ. Now, let me go on with the verse. He says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. And then he says, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, it says, having been predestined. When people see the word predestined, they get all bent out of shape. It means to plan beforehand. He planned beforehand that he would give us an inheritance. That's his plan. That we who trusted in Jesus Christ, he would say, anyone who believes in Christ as Savior, I will give them an inheritance that is undefiled and kept forever, that is beyond comprehension, that comes by faith. And then it talks about the sovereignty of God, because he says, having been predestined according to his purposes, his purpose, who works, God works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, some people get upset about the sovereignty of God, that he controls all things, works all things according to the counsel of his will. But he does. I don't get upset on it. I love it. Simply because that means there's nothing going to come into my life that's chance or fate or a bad luck or a bad thing. God is in control and nothing's going to ever come into our lives that doesn't fit according to the counsel of his perfect will. So you can rest in the fact that your God, your Heavenly Father, who loves you beyond what you could comprehend, is working all events according to the counsel of his perfect will. So even this fact that he says he's obtained, we've obtained this inheritance which he planned before, which is the plan according to his will. He is the sovereign ruler of all things. His plan, he'd given us an inheritance. This verse is no surprise. Simply because God is the sovereign one. There is a purpose to everything that He does. Now watch how verse 12 ends. Watch what He says. He says, after the counsel of His will, to the end, that we who were the first to hope in Christ, and He's saying that we, the ones the first to believe in Jesus Christ, talking about the church, right into the church at Ephesus, would be to the praise of His glory. That's something you have to realize. Everything God does ultimately is planned that it will bring glory to Him. The whole plan. If when it's all over and we are up there with Him, or wherever we're going to be, with the new heavens and the new earth and the eternal kingdom and the eternal state, we could actually say, you know what? Everything you've ever done brings glory to You. Anytime you used a human being, it brought glory to You. Anytime you created, you spoke it into being, your plan, anything that He ever done, it's all for His glory. So notice what He says, to this end, to the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ, the fact that we believed in Jesus and we got an inheritance, this would be to the praise of His glory. You know what you can say? You can say, God is such a great God. You know what He's done? He's given us an inheritance. And He gets the glory. In all ministry, and anything that you do, God gets the glory. You may be used by God to lead someone to Christ and tell them, and they trust in Jesus, and you can't say, wow, look what I did. You can say, the glory of God, He brought it all about. He let me be the instrument. He let them believe. I mean, this is the glory of God. It always is. Every aspect of this passage always talks about God's glory. At the end of verse 6, it says, the start of verse 6, it says, to the praise of His glory. Verse 12 says, to the praise of His glory. Verse 14 at the end says, to the praise of His glory. Everything is to the praise of the glory of God. The other night, I don't know if it was last night or the night before last. I can't remember what night it was. But I got in the bed and a lot of times when I get in the bed, I mean, I go to sleep really fast. You know, most things I do really slow, but I go to sleep really fast. But you know, I was laying in the bed and I started thinking through the day and praising God through everything. It was amazing. I started thinking back and I thought, thank You, Lord, for you getting up and I had this and then that was so great and then this. And I started thinking through the next thing. And you know, not every one of those things would you'd say was a fun thing necessarily. But when you look at it, you say, but you know, God, You brought this in and You did this and You did. And at the when I got to the end, I thought every aspect of that whole day, God did something great. And it's for His glory. You can do that at the end of the day today as you get ready to go to bed and sit, you know, just maybe don't fall asleep and just say, okay, Lord, let me think through this day. I got up and I went through this and did this and we had this in this afternoon and we did that and then we came back and we listened to this and did, and you can say, God, that was for Your glory. You worked it all. Nothing's by chance. He works it all. Well, we've seen this aspect. And the question we might say, do you realize what we have in Christ, our inheritance, and do we bring glory and praise to God? Because that's the plan. Now, we've seen we've been chosen in Christ, adopted as sons, redeemed in Christ, made known His plan. We have the inheritance in Christ, and that takes us to number 6, and that's our security in Christ. Now, that's what we started talking about tonight as we begin. Notice what He says, in Him, and I'll read it all. It says, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, sealed by the Holy Spirit is that idea. It's based on our union with Christ. Notice how the verse starts, in Him, in Christ, we have been sealed. Now, I'm going to just say this. We've already talked about it. But in Jesus Christ, we have this whole idea of our security. Now, watch what He says. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, He gives us a pattern. Look at this pattern. The pattern's twofold. You hear the message and you believe it. You have to hear it before you can believe it. What does Romans 10:17 say? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ. You have to hear it before you can believe it. I mean, people say, I'm just going to believe. Believe what? You've got to hear the message. Have you ever heard people say, you know, how do you go to heaven? Well, you just believe. Believe what? There is objective truth that you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came and He died on the cross and He paid for sin, and He will give you eternal life. You trust in Him for eternal life, so you hear the message and you believe. Notice how He says this. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, you heard the message. And then he says it's the gospel of your salvation. And we know what the gospel is. It's the death and resurrection of Christ. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's that simple. You have to hear it and then believe it. Hear the message, and he says, and then after hearing, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you must hear it and then believe. You know, in Romans 10, there's a passage there that a lot of people get all mixed up on, but you know how it says, it gives you the pattern. It says, how can they believe unless they have heard? And then it says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can somebody preach unless they are sent? And how, you know, and so he gives this pattern. He says, people must go. They must proclaim the message. People must go. They must be sent. They must proclaim the message. They must hear the message. And then they believe the message. Over in Acts, Paul says the same thing. He's standing up and he's talking and he says, and they must hear the message and then believe. So the writer, Paul, writes it here and says, after hearing the message, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. That's the key. You believe after hearing. And then he says, now here's the key of this thing, is you are sealed. Notice, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now the sealing of the Holy Spirit is simply put that God keeps us secure in Christ. The idea is that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit so that we are safe in Christ. Now, when they talk about sealing, and you know, back in the old days, they would take a letter and they would write something, they'd put it in and they would fold it over, and then they would put wax on it and they would seal it, and they would put this little stamp on it that shows this is my seal, you know. And they know that if somebody got that letter later and it was, the seal was broken, they said, wait a minute, somebody looked in this letter. So the seal showed that it was protected in a sense. You remember when Jesus died and they buried Him and they put Him in the tomb, and the Romans and the Rome, both the Romans and the Jewish people came by and they were going to seal the tomb. Why? They put the wax up around. They said, we'll show that if anybody moves that stone away. That's the thing. That's what sealing means. It adds the idea of protection. Let me show you two things about sealing. Number one, it shows our security. Ephesians 4:30 says we're sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13 says the idea that these things are right to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. By believing in Christ, you can know you have eternal life because you are secure. Now, if tonight, for some reason, if you were to say to yourself, am I going to heaven? And you said, well, you know, I believed in Jesus. I hope I'm going. Let me tell you, you don't ever want to think that way. You want to say, I have believed in Jesus Christ. He has given me eternal life. I have been secure and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So I know I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm faithful, not because anything I do, not because what I think I might do 2 years, 5 years, 20 years later. No, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit and I'm secure in Christ. Every one of you in this room, if you have trusted in Christ as Savior, if somebody were to say to you, going to heaven, you should say, I sure am. Why? Because Jesus Christ has saved me and I am kept secure by the Holy Spirit. That's what he says in this passage. In Him, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's a second aspect. It shows ownership. It shows we belong to Jesus Christ. That's what the sealing of the Holy Spirit does. Let me read a verse to you. This is Romans 8:16. He says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Then verse 17 says, And children, heirs also of God, with fellow heirs with Christ. The Spirit bears witness we're children of God. And then he goes on and ties that together. And he says, we're secure because the Holy Spirit says, you belong to Christ. It is not based on our feelings or our faithfulness. It is based on Jesus Christ. There's some more things that I want you to think about. Look what he says. He says, having also believed, you were sealed with Him in the Holy Spirit of promise. And then in verse 14, he says, who, the Holy Spirit, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Now remember, did he already tell us we've got the inheritance? Do we have it all right now? Are you experiencing it all right now? No, because it's in the future. You know, the home and the new body and all that stuff. But here's what he said. He said, now, the Holy Spirit is a pledge of our inheritance. Now, we know the word pledge means the Greek word is the earnest or the down payment. You ever got ready to buy something and they say, well, you need to give us a down payment to hold it for you? Or you say, here, I'm going to give you $500 now. I'll give you the other $1,000 later. That's a pledge. That's your down payment. He says that the Holy Spirit is the down payment of the inheritance. He says, I got you this inheritance. It's out of sight. But right now, what I'm going to give you as a down payment on your inheritance, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit right now. Just so you will know that all the rest of the things, like the new body and the new home and all that stuff, just so you know that's coming, I'm going to give you as a down payment. Notice, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Now listen to this. I don't have these verses up here, I don't think. But listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. He sealed us and gave us the Spirit as a pledge, as a down payment. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, now He has prepared us for this very purpose is God who has given us the Spirit as a pledge, as a down payment. So I want you to understand that we all know, where does the Holy Spirit live in right now? In us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? Now, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, and every one of us who have trusted in Christ do, you have a down payment of the rest of your inheritance that's coming later. It's as if God says, I tell you what, I got so much for you, you don't even know what I'm going to give you, but what I'm going to give you right now, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit sort of as a down payment. I'll give you the rest later. That's what He says. It's powerful. Who's given as a pledge of our inheritance, and then He goes, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, with view of to redemption. He says, all this is going to happen when God brings His whole redemption plan to pass. And then notice how He ends the verse. To the praise of His glory. The same as He said earlier, to the praise of His glory. Everything, all of these blessings, everything over and over is to the glory and the praise of God. Now, you got six blessings. We only saw the last two tonight, but they're the six blessings that we've seen in these weeks. And they're all from God in Christ to us, based on our union in Christ, and it's all for the glory of God. Boy, there's a lot of stuff in there. Let me tell you, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and we said that we could spend months just on these first verses because it's so deep. We're just touching the surface. We ain't even really talked about what all these words and everything means. You just want to get the big idea of this. What have we seen? We've seen God has an inheritance for us in Jesus Christ based on His plan. We see that God has sealed us in Christ by the Holy Spirit, and we are secure and protected. And all of this is for the glory of God. So here's the first application. Let us praise God for the inheritance that He's given us. Praise Him. Remember, it's for the praise of His glory. What you ought to say is, God, I can't believe everything You've done for me. It is beyond comprehension. A, understand the difference between rewards and inheritance. Now, understand that difference. Rewards are something you earn. Inheritance is something that's given to you freely. And He has given us. We can praise God for the inheritance that He gives us. B, know our inheritance. You remember we said a while ago, it comes by faith, it is secure, and it's beyond what we can imagine. Now, you can say some things like, well, it's a new home, and it's eternal life, and it's a new body, and it's just all kind of things. But you can know some of it, but the bottom line is we praise Him for all that He has done and all that He has given to us. Here's the second application. Let's serve God out of love, not fear. When you understand that you are secure in Christ and that you have eternal life and nothing could ever take it away, and it's not based on you or your faithfulness, but it's based on the fact that God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise and all of that, then you can serve Him not out of fear, trying to hold on to what you got, but out of love because what He has done for us. And you know what's so amazing is God gets all the glory. You can say you're going to heaven and it's not based on what you have done, what you are doing, or what you ever will do. It's all to the praise and the glory of God. The third application is proclaim the gospel message. It's the message that saves. In this passage, he talks about the gospel of your salvation. There is a message, and that is that we go so they can hear the message and believe it. That's the key. The message is that Jesus died and rose again, paying for sin, and the response is we want people to believe it. We want them to hear the message and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. And y'all, there are people out there, they don't know this. There are a lot of people that think you have to be good to go to heaven. There are a lot of people who don't realize that when you believe in Jesus Christ, not only are you saved, but you're saved forever. There are people who do not understand these things. So let's proclaim the message that's saved, because we're not ashamed of the gospel. See, sometimes we get wrapped up in the fact that we come to church and we study and we learn the Bible and we say, oh yeah, we love going and hearing Ephesians. We love it. But what are we doing with it? Paul Harvey said this. I thought it was pretty neat. He says, many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. And it's true. We want to all join together and have fun and sing great songs. And then when we go out there, we say, well, I'm going out there. No, we're going out there with the mission. It's to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to those that do not know. May we praise God for His inheritance and our security in Christ as we proclaim the good news message with the end result that God gets all the praise and all the glory. Let's pray. We'll open up for any questions or comments that you might have. Heavenly Father, what a great night. What a passage. And Lord, as we think about all the blessings You've given to us, You've given to us because You chose to do that according to Your plan, but it's all based on our relationship and our union with Jesus Christ. Thank You for that, Lord. Lord, we thank You tonight that as we think about that You have given us an inheritance. It's not based on our goodness or righteousness or anything, but You choose to give us an inheritance that will never fade away, that is undefiled, that is just perfect. And we thank You for that, Lord. Lord, we realize that on top of that, You have sealed us with the Holy Spirit. We are secure in Christ forever. And so all who believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life, and we can serve You not out of fear to hold on to what we got, but out of love because of what You have done for us. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room, as we go out these doors, we will take the message of salvation to those who do not know. We will go so that they may hear the message and believe. That they will hear that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again and paid for sin, and they will believe in Him as their Savior. They will trust in Him for eternal life. Lord, thank You for this passage and for these great truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.